Scott Harreld is known for his interviews.
Boy, you're asking great questions. I think you're in the right career path, my friend. I really do.
Scott Harreld's SOS Radio podcast starts now.
We're talking about exchanging a mild and mundane faith for life with an uncontainable God with Carlos Whitaker today at SOS Radio. How are you?
What is going on, friends? Good to hear from you.
You know, we've been living through a strange season, Carlos. It's been wild with all the unrest and all the tension and the news, and I know a lot of our hearts are hurting, and we want to try to understand, and a lot of times we don't feel like we're understood.
Yeah, we're in a season right now where, I mean, I guess you could call it a season, now we can call it an entire year, where, you know, it just feels like everything's crazy, from COVID to racial unrest to all the things that people are trying to figure out. And man, at the end of the day, you know, as much as I, you know, and I'm taking a lot of time right now on my social media platforms to try to educate people as a half black, half Mexican man in this country, I think, you know, at the end of the day, of all the education, which is very, very important, at the end of the day, we've got to realize that all of these things, all of the pain and frustration and anger are brought upon us by sin. And this is a gospel issue. And so, yes, there's very important things that we've got to do step by step to like erase racism in our country and to take all of these very important steps. But what can't get left out is the truth that the gospel is what's going to finally free man's heart of all of these racial tendencies, of all of this racism, of all of the biasness. And I'm excited because I believe that the conversation that I'm having aligns with John 10:10 and helping people finally step into the full abundant life that God has for them.
We're talking with Carlos Whitaker today at SOS Radio. A minute ago, you were talking about how you come from a family, you're half black and half Mexican. I mean, growing up, how did that affect your identity? Did you feel like pulled more towards one culture or another? Did you feel like, I don't really feel like I'm Mexican enough or I'm black enough or I'm American enough? Or
I actually love that question because I just spoke to it yesterday. Growing up, my family moved from East LA. My father's a black Panamanian. He's black, right? He's a black Panamanian. He's just as African as the African Americans. Are they? Those slave ships just stopped in Panama, right? Dropped his ancestors off. So, but he moves to America, doesn't speak English, but he's a black man. And then he marries my mom. And then once they had me, and he pastored in a church in East LA for a while. Again, my first language is Spanish. When we moved to the South, we moved to Atlanta, Georgia, when I was in elementary school. And when we moved there, I remember my dad specifically trying to highlight the Hispanic in me. He was like, he really, with his everything inside of him, was like, listen, you're Hispanic. You tell people you're Mexican. And what I didn't realize was happening when I was younger was that he was trying to protect me from all of the racism towards black people in America and in the South. And now hindsight being 2020, you know, I can see that that is why he was really trying to get me to align and to tell people that I was Mexican, not that I was black. And so what that did for me is growing up in the South, I just saw all of the not only blatant racism, but the kind of like polite racism is what I call it. And so for me, you know, I really grew up identifying as a Hispanic, as a Mexican, but just because I identified as that doesn't mean that when I went into the grocery store or the gas station that I wasn't just a black guy, because I mean, I had black hair, I had black skin. I'm black, I'm half black, but I was identifying. And again, this is a complicated issue, but identifying as a Mexican because I felt like it was safer to identify in the South is that than it was a black man. Now that I'm a grown man in his early 40s, you know, and I get to have these conversations with people, I'm allowing people to understand that it doesn't matter what we identify as black men, you know, if I'm half Hispanic or half whatever, it's what people see me as. And so therefore, that's what I have to make sure that I educate people on racial bias versus racism. Those are two different things. And what's beautiful about these conversations, friend, is that I'm seeing so many people that have trusted me because I've either sang in their churches or preached in their churches admit finally that, you know what, I have racial bias in my heart that I don't want to let turn into racism. And so, man, again, the beautiful thing about these conversations is every conversation I have will lead back to the gospel. And again, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ that will eradicate racism from people's hearts.
We're talking about the difference between racial bias and racism with Carlos Whitaker today at SOS Radio. Carlos, is interesting because we can own the fact that we say some things that are offensive sometimes to other people, that we didn't mean to be offensive, but coming from their worldview, they hurt. And it's okay to admit wow, I guess I've said some insensitive things. That doesn't necessarily mean I'm a racist or I think I'm an elitist or I think that I'm better than your culture, but there is something about owning where we're at and owning the fact that I don't understand everything.
Gosh, you know, such a huge part of this is taking a step back and putting your guard down because, again, like nobody wants to be a racist, you know, like even a racist will never blatantly admit they're a racist. Why? Because, because here's the thing is like the word racist has become a slur in our society. And I understand why, but what I would love to do is help people take the slur away from the word, because I think when we can take the slur away from the word, racist suddenly isn't something that you are, it's something that you do. And so I think when we can turn racist into and redefine it that way, racist isn't something that you are, okay? It's not a label. It may be something that you do. It may be an action that you've done. At that point, now the word has so much more power because you can say, you know what? That may have been a racist action that I did, so I'm going to change my action. Does that make me a racist? No, because a human can't be a racist, but what a human does can be racist. And I think, friend, when we can get to that space and start moving from saying, oh, you know, I'm just not a racist. You know, now in America in 2020, it's not good enough to be not racist. I'm just going to let all your listeners know you can't say I'm not racist anymore. You actually have to be the opposite of racist isn't not racist. The opposite of racist is anti-racist. So suddenly you have to be pursuing and put some action behind your intention of helping eradicate racism in America. That's what we need to be, is anti-racist versus just not racist. Not racist isn't good enough anymore. And again, all of these things, you know, we can go back into scripture and we can see, I mean, we're recording this the week of Pentecost. We have Pentecost Sunday and you look what happened in Acts and you see the intentionality that God had to bring Holy Spirit to speak to every tongue, every nation, every color in one moment. All of those colors were very important to the gospel. And all of our colors are very important right now. The worst thing you can do is be colorblind in this season because the gospels weren't colorblind. Jesus wasn't colorblind. And I honestly believe that God wants us to celebrate whatever shade you have. Don't place your identity, okay, in being black or white or Hispanic. No, but your identity is in Christ, but you can definitely celebrate the fact that you are black, white, Hispanic, whatever it may be.
We're talking about where our true identity lies, and it's a discussion we really have to have when we're having all the protests in all of our cities. I mean, in Las Vegas, a police officer was shot this week, and then another man was shot this week in one of the other locations. And regardless of who was shot, this breaks our heart, right? And regardless of what color their skin is or what their day job is, you know, it breaks our heart. And that's not what we want. It's not what Jesus wants. It's not what our church wants. But we've got to own the fact that there is color in our world, that God has created color, and that we hold to an ethnocentric perspective in a lot of ways that we don't realize. And ethnocentrism just basically means that I believe my ethnicity is centered to my worldview. And so a lot of times we take our perspective in because our family system felt like this, or the city we lived in felt like this, or the place we worked at felt like this. But identity isn't in our ethnicity or in our culture or in our location. Right. Our identity has to be in Jesus. Otherwise, it's always going to be performance-based.
That's a good word, man. That's a good word. I couldn't say it better myself.
Now, we're talking to Carlos Whitaker today at SWS Radio, and you just wrote a new book. It's called Enter the Wild, and really it's about exchanging a mild and mundane faith for a life with an uncomfortable God. God isn't leading us to just a place of comfort because it's not just about salvation. That's a starting point.
Right. It's so true, man. I mean, I grew up, you know, I really wrote this book for myself. My faith was so mild. It was just so mild. And then when I would read the Gospels and I would look at the life of Jesus, I see just how wild his faith was and how wild his life was and wild the faith of the disciples were. And I just would compare and contrast to my own faith and think, there's got to be more that God has for me. There's got to be more that Jesus has for me in this season, in, you know, on this side of heaven. And then I started looking at John 10:10, a thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that they may have life. The scripture doesn't say and have life to the half, right? It says have life to the full. And man, I was living for my last book, Kill the Spider. I talked about how, you know, fear and anxiety were a big part of my story. And I felt like when I went through and I got some healing through therapy, I got about 60% better with my anxiety. I got about 60% better with all the things in my life. And to be honest, as a Christian, when you get 60% better from like the worst moment of your life, 60% feels like 100. 60% feels so good because you just never want to go back to where you were before. But the truth is, Scripture does not say that Jesus came that we may have life and have it to 60%. It says to the full. It says to the full. So why in the world do we stop there? Well, because, again, we make a deal with God. God, if I can just never go back to where I was, I'll be happy here until I get to heaven. But again, what I tell people is Jesus didn't die on a cross so you can cope. He died on a cross so you can conquer. And I honestly believe that he has given us all the resources, his spirit, his authority, his, you know, the sword of the spirit, the truth of the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, and all of these things that we can use, the armor of God, to literally sprint into a life filled with miracles, signs, and wonders that we never even knew existed. And can I tell you what? In this season, if there has ever been a need for Christians to step into a wild faith versus just a mild faith, right now is the time. You've got to risk. You've got to be brave. You got to take a stand for injustice. You have to do all those things. And the reason why most Christians don't want to do that is because it seems overwhelming, and it is on your own, but it's not with Christ.
We're talking about experiencing the wild and the wonder that Jesus promises today with Carlos Whitaker on SWS Radio. He's an author and a speaker and a worship leader. You know, we talk about breaking free from a life of just boring faith and a life of safety. And I think if there's anything good that we can get out of this weird season where we're having a lot of tough discussions about race and about prejudice and about our identity, it's to know that God has called us to something bigger and something wilder. And he wants to grow us. And I think that's why so many of us just clench our fists, because it doesn't feel safe when you're growing. And it doesn't feel fun when you're going through those phases of growth. I remember when we were like seventh grade, you know, our voice is changing, we're getting taller, our feet are getting bigger, and your body aches. And at that time, you're like talking and your voice is going to go. And you're just like, what is going on? But then later in life, you realize I had to grow. I had to change before I could have the progress.
Yep, it's so true. Listen, I get it that we want to be safe. I mean, this book isn't about like going crazy and wilding and like just things are going to be so out of control. No, that's not what I'm talking about. For every single person that's listening to this right now, you know your comfort level when it comes to what you're willing to risk in your faith. All this book is doing is asking you to risk more. And when you risk more, that is when you're going to start hearing from Holy Spirit on a more regular basis. He's going to start accelerating your relationship with him. And when your relationship with him accelerates, honestly, that is when your mind is going to start being blown by all of the things you see, all of the miracles that you see on a daily basis. I'm not talking about miracles like just praying for healing, for cancer to be healed, or like that's a miracle. But I'm talking about like everyday, small, tiny miracles that we have access to. And I'm telling you, we are a country in desperate need of Christians that are seeing miracle signs and wonders, in desperate need of Christians that are being the hands and feet of Jesus and risking in order to rescue. That's where we've got to get to.
We're talking with Carlos Whitaker today at SWS Radio about really experiencing the wild and the wonder that Jesus promises. And he actually has a new book about that called Enter Wild. But Carlos, it's interesting because as we want to have growth, we've got to embrace the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times in our churches, we're just talking about God the Father, and we're just talking about Jesus as our Savior and as the atonement for our sin. But what's God showed you about the Holy Spirit that's different than just the safety of having a relationship with God?
My learning and growth with conversational intimacy with Holy Spirit the last 5 years has absolutely transformed everything. The knowledge that Holy Spirit is constantly speaking to us. I think that's the one thing, you know, when I was growing up and I'd be taught about Holy Spirit, it was kind of like always just the third weird part of God that I didn't understand and nobody really talked about. And now I ended up, you know, in church that really teaches on how to hear Holy Spirit on a daily basis. And man, friend, when I started getting a lot more specific with my questions for Holy Spirit, instead of leaving them so vague, I think the biggest learning for me is that we serve a very specific God who has sent a very specific Holy Spirit for our very specific circumstances. And the reason why so many Christians are so vague in their prayer life is because we're scared that if we get specific and God doesn't answer, well, suddenly we're going to have a crisis of faith. So what do we do instead? We spread these blanket prayers, these wide nets, you know, throwing out in the ocean, hoping that we catch one fish with our wide net. Then we can say, oh, God answered my prayer. My plea and challenge to your listeners is, listen, even today, I would love for you to get super specific with Holy Spirit about a need in your life. Ask Holy Spirit specifically about a need, or even get even less intense than a need and just ask Holy Spirit, where should I go eat lunch today? Where should I have dinner tonight? Well, should I turn left or should I turn right? What I'm amazed at is that I finally realized that Holy Spirit can answer even the simplest of questions for us, left or right, Chick-fil-A or Chipotle. It's always Chick-fil-A, by the way. And, you know, like those are questions that he actually wants to have conversations with us about. But we leave God out of the simple things and we only go to him when things are intense.
We're talking with Carlos Whitaker today at SWS Radio. We're talking about exchanging a mild and mundane faith with a life with an uncomfortable God. And he has a new book. It's called Enter Wild. And, you know, it's interesting when we go through any sort of crisis of faith, you think all these what ifs, what if, what if, what if God doesn't show up? What if God doesn't do this? What if I'm wrong? What if my friends are right? What if I'm crazy? But what if we get specific about our big questions and we actually take those to Jesus? And what if we actually say, Holy Spirit, reveal yourself to me, because the Holy Spirit isn't a thing. He's a person. What right. if we get specific and God actually answers your big questions in a way that blows your mind?
Yes, that is what I'm talking about. That is, you've got nothing to lose. Listen, nothing to lose. The only thing you have to gain is to have your mind blown on a daily basis. You know, if anyone's ever seen the Chronicles of Narnia and you've ever, you know, read the books or watched the movie, at the very beginning, you've got Lucy who, you know, she's hiding, they're playing hide and seek from her brothers and sisters, and she walks through a wardrobe and she stumbles into Narnia. And it's this beautiful land of miracles and of wonders. And after she spends some time in Narnia, she goes back to the wardrobe to tell her brother that there's this place called Narnia, and they don't believe her. They think she's crazy. And I feel like that's kind of where I'm at right now. Like, I've stumbled into Narnia and I've come back through the wardrobe and I'm trying to tell everybody, guys, there's this place filled with miracles, signs, and wonders. You'll never believe it. And they think I'm crazy. But one at a time, I take them by the hand. And if they, I can build enough relationship with them, which hopefully I do in my book, I will take you by the hand and show you that this land, this faith that God has for you, is so much richer and beautiful than you ever, ever imagined. And when you finally step into Narnia, I promise you're never going to want to go back into that wardrobe.
We're talking with Carlos Whitaker today at SWS Radio, and he's an author and a speaker and a worship leader. And a lot of times people justify their mundane, ordinary life by just saying, you know what, we live in a broken world, we live in a fallen world, and I'm not perfect. And while there's truth in that statement, it's sort of a cop-out, right? Because the grace of Jesus offers us an abundant life on this side of eternity. You know, it's like yeah. on earth as it is in heaven. And yeah. what have you learned about what that means? I mean, it's like you think about the future, but what about the now? What about Jesus and the Holy Spirit solving our problems and fixing our family and helping us to have power to grow our church and God's kingdom in this community?
You know, what I initially hear when you say that is when people look at the scripture, John 10:10, I think sometimes we can get confused as to what abundance means. I think that scripture has been taken out of context for so many people to make them believe that abundance and life to the full means like you're going to be, you know, rolling in a Mercedes Benz and the newest G-Wagon, you're going to have, you know, a nice house and all these things. That it actually is not at all what the Greek word zoe means when it's talking about this life to the full, the spirit that you get in you with life. No, it's talking about abundance inside of seasons of trauma. It's talking about life to the full inside of seasons of tragedy. My daughter was in the hospital for 21 days in November, and I'll never forget that this verse finally made sense to me. I had life to the full. I had life with abundance in the midst of the darkest season of my family's life. And that is what is so available to every single person. Yes, God may get, you know, you might get nice things, but that's not the goal of our faith. The goal of our faith on this side of heaven, again, you're not supposed to become a Christian and wait for heaven. You're supposed to become a Christian and bring heaven. And that is available here. You don't have to wait until you die to experience all the goodness that God has for you.
We're talking with Carlos Whitaker today at SWS Radio. We're talking about Enter Wild. We're talking about how we just sort of accept a mild and mundane faith a lot of times because we don't embrace the growth and we don't do the hard things to move out of our own comfort zone and to get over ourselves. But Carlos, what's the best way to lower the volume of life so we can actually hear God?
Yeah, that's step one in my book, Enter Wild. You know, there's three steps: enter rest, enter war, and enter wild. And out of those three steps, you can't get into the warfare that you need to in order to finally get into the wild unless you enter rest. And rest, when I speak about it in my book, has nothing to do with like actually resting, like, you know, lowering your blood pressure, although that may be a friend's benefit. The purpose of spiritual rest is to hear the voice of God. The purpose of spiritual rest is to lower the volume of life so the volume of God goes up. And so, you know, there's various ways that you can do this. Obviously, prayer, a daily prayer, and I have a daily prayer at the end of the book that I've been praying every single day for 7 years. Every single day, I take 15 minutes, pray this daily prayer, consecrate my day. And during this daily prayer, I'll be honest with you, is when I hear Holy Spirit the loudest during my day. He is speaking to me. He is moving me through scripture. So I think that daily prayer is huge. But I also think, you know, that we weren't created to consume as much content as we're consuming. Like our souls are still the same souls we had in the Garden of Eden. And so, you know, so technology may have advanced, but I don't think our souls have advanced. I think our souls were what God intended at the very beginning. And so when we look at the amount of content we're consuming, when we look at the amount of screen time we're using, and people ask me all the time, Carlos, I can't hear the voice of God. And I'm like, well, take a look at your, what does your iPhone tell you your screen time is? Like, start lowering the amount of content that you're consuming and start lowering the amount of noise that you're consuming and watch the voice of God truly explode.
Well, we're talking with Carlos Whitaker today at SWS Radio, and he has a brand new book called Enter Wild, Exchange a Mild and Mundane Faith for a Life with an Uncomfortable God, releases on the 16th. Thank you so much for checking in with us today, Carlos.
Man, thanks so much for having me. This was a blast. I'll come back anytime.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast. If you enjoy the discussion and want to help the podcast grow, you can make a $10 donation through sosradio.net or inside the SOS Radio app. Thanks for your generosity. It helps us experiment with new things and keep the discussions fresh.